Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Our very first guest in the history of Wilde and Tausch, which will be, I'm sure, a long and distinguished history.
Packers Hall of Famer Mark Tauscher.
Aaron Rodgers, give us an over-under on what number would you set for how many shows we do.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio at ESPN Madison.
I'm going to say they leave 52 weeks in a year. I'm going to say you do about 230.
And celebrating 10 great years on ESPN Wisconsin.
And then what happened?
No, then Tausch kind of bows out.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
We have crowned a Stanley Cup champion, and we've crowned an NBA Finals champion. And everyone is excited for the good people and the good celebrities of New York edition. Speaking of the NBA, per Brian Windhorst, Giannis wants to join the Heat. But the Celtics have shown interest despite stumbling blocks. Can't wait to get into that further edition. And I have gotten so many compliments about how good Ryan Longwell was with us on Friday. I got to finish my Channel 3000 story so I can double dip edition of Wilde and Tausch. On 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and of course everything you need. On the ESPN Wisconsin app, which is A, free, B, customizable, so you can use your little, drag your little finger to move Wilde and Tausch into the first spot. And, of course, can be found both in the Apple and Android app stores. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios. And so is Ryan Longwell's classmate in the class of 2018. Packers Hall of Fame class. It is Mark Tauscher, the Packers Hall of Famer. Tausch, good morning. How are you?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
Good. How's your weekend?
Super. How about you?
It was good. I went to the most incredible funeral I've ever attended, and was both sad and inspired, and I think it was exactly what you want to get out of an event like that. You feel your sadness, but you also are... you see how much people cared about the person, and then on top of that, you have a bunch of moments where you get the smile, and it was really, got to see some people that I hadn't seen in a while, so I hated the reason why I saw them, but it was great to see them, and I'm going to keep that family in my thoughts and prayers as they go through a pretty devastating time, but they're an amazing family, and I was glad I was able to be there for that moment. Meanwhile, I had nothing else to do this weekend. So I watched sports on television, which I don't normally do. Saw the Knicks win their NBA title, even though they only led for like 27% of the minutes in the entire series. And yet they won the series 4-1, which is crazy. And then the Hurricanes won their second Stanley Cup. Jesse's favorite team. Jesse, tell me again about all the guys that scored goals for the Hurricanes.
Stahl. I'll help you out.
I know Bussy.
Stahl.
Bussy was the man.
Bussy was busting
series,
with the boys.
Series
there.
Yeah. Changed when Bussy got in there. I know that.
Indeed it did. Got a hot goalie. So we've got a lot to get to today, but Tausch, I just want to circle back before we get started. to Ryan Longwell because I'm working on my story. He was, I mean, I don't know what the Packers' plans are, and I don't want it to interrupt his ability to take part in his home renovation projects and getting him and Sarah a HGTV show. But I had so many people who listened to that interview who came up and said he was so good, and I hope Trey Smack listens to him.
Yeah, I thought from a detail standpoint, and I'll be the first one to say, if I'm listening to our show, I'm not sure I want kicking broke down to the degree. But the way Ryan did it and his experience and the fact that, you know, he is a Packer Hall of Famer, and the fact that Trey Smack has missed some kicks and is going kind of going through it, I think in real time I felt more like Jesse probably felt and a lot of fans, like, oh, God. And after the weekend, and you bring this back up, I was not even, you know, I had not thought about it. I don't think it's as big of a deal. I still think it's more concerning than I wanted it to be, because I was not concerned even with him missing a 35-yard field goal in a game-winning situation on a Thursday OTA practice, whatever. That wasn't it. It was the great detail that Ryan went into, and I agree. I think when you know, I know we're 10 years, and we're going to be creating our 10 favorite collaboratively. I'm going to give five, and I don't know if we've even talked about this yet. I'm going to give five. You're going to give five of our kind of favorite or most meaningful moments of our 10 years. I'm not sure that that will make it, but I'll say from a detail and nuance standpoint and understanding and getting an idea of what Trey Smack is going to be needing to do to be a successful kicker up at Lambeau Field, man, it was about as informative of an interview as we've had.
Yeah, he was great, and anytime you use the word kryptonite, it gets our attention because, you know, we like old school Superman, Lex Luthor, Gene Hackman, Christopher Reeve films. But yeah, I got a little bit of pushback from folks in the YouTube comments that were saying that we were trying to create panic. I honestly don't think that. I just thought Ryan's insight and the fact, let's not forget this, as he said, he talked with Trey Smack the previous weekend. Like, he spent some time with him. They apparently both were at a charity event in Florida. And
easier Trey to kick Smack, down there, I heard.
It is, yes. There is no kryptonite in the swamp.
Dew point and kicking high hooks. And
It was very detailed. You're right. It was a little, we may have nerded out a little bit in the nuances of kicking, but I thought it was really insightful. I don't think we're at like DEFCON 1 here. Okay, he's missed some kicks in practice.
Correct me if I'm wrong. You said you felt better about it.
I felt better when we were done. Absolutely, yes. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying.
I can't get on board with, but I'm not going to tell you how to feel.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I just thought if you can identify what could help you be better, that is the first step toward being better. And it sounds to me like Ryan has a pre-existing relationship with Trey Smack. Trey Smack seemed receptive to some of his insights. I think Ryan has the pelts on the wall, as Mike McCarthy would say, that could help him through this. So I thought it was great, and I'm eager to see what the journey looks like moving forward for him. But again, the Packers have created whatever degree of nervousness you have for a team that the fan base at least believes is a Super Bowl contender in a pretty stacked NFC. You know, if games come down to kicks, you want him to be at his best. And rookies in general are inconsistent. And so we'll see what Trey Smack ends up being. So much of his career, like Natasha Bedingfield would tell us, remains unwritten.
Well, I haven't even started. I don't even know what Natasha Bedingfield's song would be about not even starting, but this show hasn't even started yet.
Yeah, I don't know enough of her catalog to deliver that, and plus we wouldn't play it anyway because then we have the YouTube issues. So I don't want to get into this immediately, but I do want to hear this San Antonio Spurs Packers comp. I left one of the other sporting events, I don't know how I did this, that I watched over the weekend off my list, and that, of course, was the U.S. beating Paraguay 4-1 with Antonio Freeman's son Alex on the team, your former teammate. Did you watch any soccer? Did
None.
That make it onto your viewing?
Zero. Didn't watch any.
Nil, some
Nil.
Might say.
No.
No, why?
I'm not
going to
be a phony. No, I'm not going to be a phony, though. This isn't a big event. When they get to the knockout round, I maybe will watch. I think they play Australia. I don't like soccer. I just don't. So when I went to watch the game live over in before the Packers played New York, that was awesome. All the chanting and all the pomp and circumstance.
QPR.
Yeah, Queens Park or something.
Rangers.
So that was
Rangers.
That was interesting. I do love big events, and I will start paying attention. But am I going to sit here? Do I think the offsides rule is stupid? I do. Do I think that the running clock and the not using and just guessing how much time is left is dumb? I do. Do I think the lack of scoring and everything else is dumb? I do. So I can't sit here in good faith and act like I'm Johnny Soccer when I'm not. So. Will I jump on board the bandwagon when things get a little testier and we start chasing a World Cup championship? I will be 1,000% bandwagon. I love the country. I want the USA to kick keister. But am I going to watch Paraguay and the USA on a Friday in the summer? No, I'm not. So, no.
If for some reason the U.S. was to be eliminated.
Did Germany lose to Curaçao?
Didn't
Curaçao, because I love Curaçao now. I love Curaçao now. Great.
Well, why do you love Curaçao?
What are your favorite things about it?
Sarah spent some time down there. She's got a good friend that was there. We were, I think, because I think it's close to Aruba, if I remember. And
Germany beat Curaçao 7-1.
Well, they fell behind 1-0. Something happened because I saw it on my social media feed. It's like, oh, and then I saw there's a German fan that everybody's sharing videos with that is a big star. I don't know who she is, but she's a big star on the German.
Showdown with the Ivory Coast coming up.
The German soccer feed. So I'm excited about that. I think that would that was the overall championship and the big event, the fact that we're hosting, I will pay some close attention to. But I can't fake it and tell you that I like soccer because I don't.
I'm sure Jesse watched that Germany game very closely because it was almost a World Cup scorigami, which I read.
Can't
on,
say I did. I did catch. I caught the end of Japan and the Netherlands yesterday afternoon. Caught
why was
that
Italy
one?
Not in it? Is my other question.
They didn't qualify. U.S. wasn't in it in 2018. How does that happen?
We suck at soccer.
And qualify.
Yeah, everybody always said when we were a kid, oh, soccer's going to turn around. We're going to be the best in the world. We're not. We stink. So if we...
You don't stink.
Grand scheme, we stink. Have we ever played in the World Cup finals?
No.
Have we ever played in the World Cup semis?
I don't think so.
We have in the quarters, though.
We've lost in the
Made
quarters.
Made it to the quarters.
I recall.
Yeah, I was listening to Big Cat, Barstool Big Cat, and I think I'm on board with his plan. That when we're hosting and we just got the easiest draw of all time, like if we don't advance on to whatever they call it, knockout round or whatever it is, we need to just quit. Like soccer needs to go away in this country.
Come on.
No, I think it's a reasonable take.
Because, go away
well,
just
I mean,
because you don't like
no,
it and because
no,
it doesn't
no,
like
no.
it.
If yeah, I may.
Not that good at it.
If I may. Not at the little kid level. Like there's something cute about walking around the park and you see kids kicking a soccer
Wouldn't
ball.
Wouldn't mind if that goes away.
And I think high school soccer's fine. I'm talking about on the global stage. We can do our little cute MLS and be third or fourth tier. When do we ever accept just being third or fourth tier in anything? Like when do we ever do that? We've had now 100 and some odd years. Here's where we're at. We've put resources in. We've done it. So don't get at me about, you shouldn't do this. I'm saying globally, let's use our resources. Now resources are starting to, we got to figure out where we're putting resources, right? We're great at football, basketball, et cetera, et cetera. I would not be opposed to saying, you know what, we're going to continue to have college soccer will be the pinnacle here. And let's do it that way. And I think on a global stage, let's just say, it's been a good run. But if we can't, and again, not if we don't make the knockout round, which I think we should, but Big Cat's take was And I think the other guy, PFT, also said kind of the same thing. You know what? If they don't, let's just wrap it. I think they wanted to get rid of soccer completely. I'm not going to go there. I like kids running around. I think exercise is good. But globally, on an international stage, I think we should call it. That's all. I agree with Big Cat on that.
We're doing that thing where we get events once every 4 years that you want to drastically like make changes to. And
no, I'm not making any changes.
You're having us quit pursuing.
No, just saying, no. I'm saying we don't fund. I think we just say, you know what?
What does that mean, we don't fund?
There's money that gets thrown into that whatever it is, and we all know it's a corrupt operation, allegedly. The Doha or
the FIFA
Dubai.
People are. I don't
That's
know if
all
we
part
could
of
say
whole,
that about USA Soccer.
Isn't that all part of the World Cup and the whole deal? Is that how this all gets done? Like, there's some corruption, allegedly. That goes place. So all I'm saying is...
So we're going to quit.
No, it's not even... It's just not... We're just going to not fund, and we're just going to... You know what? Let's get
quitting.
Let's get a ragtag group. I think what we need is to...
It's the major league guys, Taylor.
If I may. What we need to do is reboot and do it like we did in 1980. If we're going to do this in soccer, we need to do what happened in 1980. A bunch of ragtag, we put money into our college soccer, and we let our college soccer cats go to try to beat Messi. And if they pull off that kind of upset like we did, then soccer will make the big bounce that we're all hoping for in this country, and that would be the springboard for it. Because I've been told I'm 47 years old, I think, 48. If that is not the case, we let it rip. So we need to recreate a 1980s deal, and the only way to really do that is to just have a bunch of college kids get together, and doesn't have to be Lake Placid, but maybe that will be the springboard for all these young Americans to see it, take it, and move forward with it.
All right, so I'm not...
Not looking at getting Charlie Sheen out of the clink and bringing Jake Taylor
out of the
whatever Mexican Federation League he was playing. That's not where I'm at. Okay. I want the 1980 the hockey squad. That is the I want that redone 40 years later. That's what I'm looking
for. So I'm not. I'm sorry.
50 years. Later.
All due respect. I'm not somebody who's going to turn 49 later this week. I'm not going to take. This take from doesn't even know how old he is.
I acknowledged Big Cat and PFT's take. I actually made it less hot takey. They want to get rid of soccer completely. I listened to it yesterday and I thought, yeah, I can get on board with
Can't
this.
Can't you just say it's not my jam and then be done with it?
Because that's not. I mean, I'm not going to sit here. I mean, I'm doing a show. I'm not going to not have some type of take. If we're going to bring a topic up, I'm not going to punt. I'm going to make a take. Now, does that mean
they
it's going to be right
soccer too.
Or accurate?
Your take is we should quit. You're not a quitter.
No, it's not quitting. It's not quitting.
It's quitting.
It's
if we don't make the knockout round,
funds
we should disband
it. Is moving
That's
funds
quitting.
Around so that we can maybe even be better at other sports, and we let soccer organically grassroot itself back up like hockey did in 1980. That's what I want.
Why don't we just accept soccer for what it is?
But we don't. We're
we
not.
Like, every time we get to a World Cup, there's some kind of indictment about, oh, it's got to be the fastest growing sport. And then there's another side that says, no it's not. It sucks.
No, pickleball's the fastest
game. Why can't we just accept soccer for what it
when
is in the United States?
When did we as Americans just accept below mediocrity?
It's got
and
its lane.
Why do we do that?
We're a top 16 team.
We're not really a top 16 team, but we're not. We get in the wrong draw. We ain't in the top 16. Come on. We never been. I just asked you guys.
2022, we made it to the knockout stage.
We didn't even make it. I just asked you guys if we'd ever made the semifinals. And that's how many years has the World Cup been going on?
We're not a Final
Four. They made it in 1930.
Is it older? What year?
1930.
We made the semis.
So Wisconsin has won a national men's basketball title more recently.
Yeah.
Again, it's fine. It's not your jam. I totally get that. I just thought maybe you would have watched it. You didn't. That's fine.
What's wrong with grassrooting it?
Are we going to disband the Brewers because they've never won a World Series?
They've
now?
Been to NLCSs.
That's not the same.
No, it is.
U.S. has been to the knockout round.
It's the same thing as a semi, and you know it. There's literally four teams left in
both. We could disband the New York Jets based on this logic.
No, we can relegate.
We can't even make
the playoffs. We've talked about that before. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, listen.
We do the same thing with the Olympics.
I know a lot of people love soccer, and they enjoy it, and I'm not the right guy for that. No doubt about it. But I am going to say, at some point, you don't just keep throwing good money after bad. That feels like that's what's happening. Now, we could do it this year, and that will, you know, their take, and I agree with it, so I want to make sure I'm accurately portraying their take. This year, they make the knockout round, we'll keep going. But if they don't, we lose to Australia and we don't make the knockout round, that's when this would be in play. And I think it's worth having a conversation. I don't think it's going to go anywhere. I don't think it's going to do anything. But just think of how big of a movement you could get if you could recreate what happened in 1980 in hockey.
The reason why that's so special is because it can't be recreated.
But you don't know that. How do you know if you don't try? You could recreate it.
Because college kids would be even worse than
maybe
the guys that are playing.
They said that in 80. Nobody thought we could beat the Soviets. Nobody did. Okay. Nobody thinks we can beat Brazil.
On a miracle. They made a movie about it, and they called it Miracle.
Nobody thinks miracles are an unbelievable thing. I bet the New York Knicks didn't think they could win a championship.
I bet they did.
I don't know.
Well, I can tell you this. All those other window companies, they should quit. Because they can't keep up with Pella Windows
and
Doors in Wisconsin.
I said quitting. I said grassrooting. I just want to make sure I'm confirming that.
What would grassroot windows? Some guy in his garage?
Well, I don't care about all that because I have the best in the business, and that is Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. If you're shopping for new windows and doors, you should never include haggling. Pella sticks to straightforward pricing, honest conversations, helping homeowners find the right fit for their home, and they never use high-pressure sales tactics. When you buy direct through Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, the same team manufactures your windows and doors. They also sell them, install them, and service them. Real pricing, premium quality, no game. Schedule your free in-home consultation today at PellaWI.com.
We're gonna hear. Are the Bucks gonna go grassroots after they trade Giannis? Is that what they're doing?
I don't know. Have they been 150 years and never made a semifinal of anything? I don't think that's been the case. So no, they won't be grassrooting.
True. But they are going to trade Giannis to the Heat, apparently. That at least is the opinion of Brian Windhorst. And at this point, the Bucks, the San Antonio Spurs, and the Green Bay Packers are the same team? Tausch will explain that to us next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
We'll take a break from the World Cup Today portion of our program and get Tausch's view of the San Antonio Spurs, who lost in the NBA Finals in games that they had double-digit leads in all five of them and they only won one of them. Tausch, is that how they're like the Green Bay Packers?
So I was listening to some post stuff, post coverage of the Spurs losing, and obviously everybody's fired up because New York hadn't won one in 53 years, the biggest city in the country, blah, blah, blah. So everybody's excited. Great. Kudos to New York. They grinded it out. They were tougher. They were, you know, mentally in a better place than where New York was. So I'm all good. Great championship for them. I think they should celebrate in a big way. They will. Boom, boom, boom. But then I started kind of thinking, and I know we had this conversation about which, you know, baseball team the Green Bay Packers were, and that was kind of fun. I think our fans had fun with it. And the more I started thinking about it, the Green Bay Packers, organizationally, eerily similar to the San Antonio Spurs. Now, when you factor in tradition and history, I don't think anybody can compete. Maybe the Yankees. As far as the Green Bay Packers, when you start factoring all of that in. But when I start looking at the equivalencies to the Spurs and the Packers, there it is eerily similar. Great star player MVPs, legendary coach, championships, gut punches. Who has had more? San Antonio blows the biggest lead in the history of the NBA Finals.
Mm-hmm.
Green Bay Packers, pretty devastating.
Mm-hmm.
They lose a game. Derek Fisher hits a shot, knocks him out of another championship that to make it to a championship back in, I think, 04. Gut punch. We've seen that movie before with San Francisco with game-winning field goals, et cetera, blocked field goal or blocked punt that does it. Games that you should win. San Antonio's the better team that year. They didn't win it. And then obviously you factor in the absolute gut punch of all gut punches is when LeBron and Ray Allen come back and win it in game six. So their fan base, pretty low key, their organization, I mean, pretty low key, go about their business, pretty consistent, wins a lot, gotten in these runs, won championships, but also have had gut punch after gut punch. Tell me a better equivalent operation than that when it comes to the Green Bay Packers and comparing them to an NBA team.
Have the Spurs won titles at a greater rate would be my only question.
No, not in the grand scheme. I mean, when you grand scheme it, it's not close. The Packers obviously have 13, and
yeah,
the Spurs have
5. Yeah, but most of those are old tests.
But it's, I mean, okay, fine. When you start factoring in just the Super Bowl era, 60s, that's 4. I think Spurs got 5. They had maybe a little more dynastic, but it's tough to say that. Their dynastic run was probably very similar to Lombardi, Popovich, Lombardi. Just take a look at overall smaller town. I know San Antonio's getting bigger, but kind of that small town vibe, community-oriented deal, wins a lot, steady, stable organization, star players, they get their star. We've had Favre, Rodgers, star. Robinson would be star.
Yeah.
A-Rod would, well, A-Rod and Tim Duncan's a tough comp. I'll be the first one to admit that. Favre, old boy, probably pretty good comp. So,
and now Wemby is in the same spot as Jordan Love?
No, I just said Favre is going to be Wemby. I guess you could put Kawhi in there, but I'm not going to do that.
Okay. So the Spurs titles are 99, 03, 05, 07, 14, and now obviously they reach the finals for the first time since.
So they have 5, right? I believe my math is right.
Correct.
They have 5,
but all in the last 26 years.
Okay, well, give me a better comp.
This is way better than the soccer thing. No, I think it's a very good comp. My question was, like, Wemby reaches the NBA Finals, he doesn't win. Jordan Love reaches the divisional round in his first year as the starter, now has lost. Like,
if we're being fair, Jordan Love is not in this conversation yet, in my opinion. I think he can get there, but he's not right now.
The Spurs also went through a period here, like the last 5 or 6 years before this season, where did they even have a winning record? Did they make the postseason?
No, they definitely had a little down spell.
They've been down for almost the better part of a decade, really.
Right? And so the only and look,
maybe this comp sucks.
No, it if I may,
10 years.
As you like to
say. Didn't realize it's 10 years that they've stunk. I thought
yeah.
It was
so they've
or four.
Had a down period, but to your. I think most of your comp fits extremely well. I'm trying to spin it forward now because, look, if Rodgers wins more titles during his run, the comp to Tim Duncan is actually a very good one also, right? But I feel like Duncan won more titles during his
time. I think Duncan's got to be Bart Starr in this. And then Robinson is
because
Favre.
That era is the 60s.
And then Rodgers is okay. Wemby.
Okay. And look, Wemby... with my second Natasha Bedingfield reference in as many segments, a lot is still unwritten for him, right? I mean, he's still a very young player. And they made it to the finals, and they clearly were not ready for prime time in the most important moments, obviously. But I like the comp a lot, actually. I'm not in any way downgrading it. I am just trying to spin it forward because – They made an NBA Finals now after not being in the finals for 12 years. The Packers are now 16 years into not making it to a Super Bowl. And they are hoping that their not quite as young anymore young star at quarterback can elevate to being a championship caliber player. And maybe that happens this year if he has Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Tucker Kraft, Matthew Golden all healthy around him. But I'm just trying to look into the future and say, will this comp be able to stand up with Jordan Love and Wemby being on the same kind of timeline of their careers? That's all I'm asking, because I think the comp's a good one.
I think when I look at New York and what New York just got done, that reminds me, and it's not the same, but I think that vibe is the same as when the Green Bay Packers won the Super Bowl in 96. Long layoff, historical franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they did not. I think they won two championships in the 70s, so it's not quite the same. But Green Bay, if you want to get rid of everything pre-Super Bowl, and won two championships. That excitement level, you don't get that very often.
53-year drought will do that.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still – I one last question.
You guys kind of talked me off this. I was really – as I was listening to – I don't remember who was analyzing it, but they were kind of going through this, and I was thinking, what other franchises has had success? There's been plenty of just lovable losers. The Vikings can't mm-hmm. win anything. Buffalo, they don't want anything. That has won, but still the heartbreak and the gut punch is probably – not to the same level as the championships, but eerily similar.
Mm-hmm. I got one for you.
Yeah.
Oklahoma City.
Explain.
Oklahoma City has had some really talented teams. A decade and a half ago, they had Kevin Durant and James Harden and that whole squad that lost to the Miami Heat.
Russell Westbrook.
The atmosphere in Oklahoma City, all the NBA experts and pundits and players say that it's a college-type atmosphere, very similar to how playing at Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers is described. They have won a championship, obviously recently, more recently than the Packers have, but they have won a championship. It doesn't have the storied history that the Packers have, but when you look at different similarities between the franchises, I think Oklahoma City stands out as one that's a good alternative.
Different similarities?
Yeah. Like, when you're comparing the Spurs, you're saying the history, the heartbreak,
okay,
the star players.
Sense.
When you're comparing Oklahoma City, you're talking about the in-game atmosphere and the getting close and getting over the hump only really once or maybe twice. Like, that's, if we're looking more recent history, I think Oklahoma City has a comparison to be made.
Not bad. I like it. Last thing on this. You regretted wanting the lovable losers, the Chicago Cubs, to break the curse of the Billy Goat.
Yep, mistake by me.
I don't think you regretted the Red Sox winning after the curse of the Bambino.
Nope, I enjoyed it.
Do you feel like this will be the Red Sox or this will be the Cubs when it comes to you were rooting for the Knicks to win their first title in 53 years? And you think you'll regret that, or you think you'll feel the same way you feel about the Red Sox?
I think it'll be a lot more indifferent on both fronts. There wasn't a curse that went with this. I'm not a New York sports fan, so it's just not my cup of tea. And I don't think this is going to be some dynastic run. I think this is a team that is very likable. They work hard. They compete. They're gritty. It's you know, the opposite, I think, of what outside folks look at, you know, the city of New York. I think we kind of look at it as bougie and finance and all the other stuff. And I think there is a lot of grit to live there. You have to be willing to fight. And that team did. You said what they only led 27% of the series, and they won in five games. That takes a lot of, you know what, to find a way and figure it out. So, I don't think this team is going to be one of the all-time great, like dynastic. Oh, they're going to be really tough for a bit, and I think they're going to have to reboot. So, I think this is going to be a standalone. Congratulations. And a legendary group that's going to be able to do whatever they want in the state of New York.
Hmm. I do have a greater affinity for Jalen Brunson than I had before. I was really impressed with him and how he. I mean, the way he played in that clinching game was really, really impressive. All right, we'll shift gears again. I know there, Jesse, we're getting a lot of requests in the YouTube comments. We want some Miz talk. So we will be prepared for that a little bit later in the program. But speaking of the Brewers and speaking of the Miz, if you want to go see the Miz and you want to be able to tailgate a little longer because you've got express entry into the Associated Bank gate, or you want to be able to get 20% off your Miz jersey at the Brewers team store, or you want to save some money on buying your ticket, well, all those things come with Associated Bank's Brewers checking. 20% off the Brewers team store, up to 50% off home game tickets, express entry through the Associated Bank entrance, concert and event access. You can get pre-sale access to designated concerts and non-baseball events. And you can save money both on the Brewers Baseball Academy when you register for that and for the famous Racing Sausages 5K and 10K runs. So go to associatedbank.com/brewers to find out more about all the perks that come with Brewers checking from Associated Bank. More Wildy and Tausch straight ahead. Stick around.
Your state, your teams, your ESPN. The ESPN Wisconsin app. Customizable just to you. Find the ESPN Wisconsin app in the Apple or Android app stores today.
Pointed out in our YouTube comments, I think it's safe to say that the Knicks probably feel pretty good about their mix after winning the NBA title. So we can take them out of the mix for Giannis. Oh, so what does that leave us?
I bet if they could trade Karl Anthony Towns for Giannis, they'd do it.
Straight up, probably.
And some picks. I think they'd still do it.
But Brian Windhorst on Get Up this morning. Again, I don't know. Do we call this a report, Jesse? Is this his opinion?
This
I don't
one
inaccurately depict this.
I would put it at a 5.5 out of 10 on the report scale.
Okay. Hmm. It's pretty high.
Not really. I don't know. What's 10 out of 10 is like it's a trade that's happening and it's done, right?
Yeah.
That's a 10 out of 10 on the reports.
Mm-hmm.
And a 1 out of 10 is I think Giannis should go to the Trailblazers.
Pelicans.
Yeah. Okay. So maybe a 4.5. 4.5 to 5.5, somewhere in that range. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll be the judge of that. Here is Brian Windhorst discussing Giannis Antetokounmpo's potential landing spots if he is traded. Here is Brian Windhorst.
I would be remiss if I didn't point out that he still could commit to re-signing with the Bucks, but talks have intensified over the last 7 to 10 days. Look, he has focused on wanting to be a member of the Miami Heat, and because he's only got 1 year on his contract, he has some control over that. But the Heat and the Bucks have been talking for months, Greeny, and not agreed to a deal because the Bucks don't love the Heat's offer. There are third teams involved, there are fourth teams involved. In recent days, we have seen that the Boston Celtics have shown some interest there. But a Celtics offer has a stumbling block. Number one, you'd be breaking up potentially Jalen Brunson and Jalen Brown. Number two, it would mean changing the entire structure of the way the Celtics play basketball. So stay tuned. We'll be more on that as the week unfolds.
I assume that was Jason Tatum and Jalen Brown that he was referring to, right? Not
yes,
Jalen
sir.
Brunson.
Yes, sir.
Have been there, by the way. So not criticizing Wendy. I do that all the time where I say the wrong name. But is there, I don't want to say that his market is drying up. That seems like too strong of a statement. But is there, like he even said at the beginning of that, Tausch, is there a chance that there just ends up not being a deal that works for him or for them and it doesn't end up happening?
Yeah, then we don't trade him. But no, I don't think that's going to be the case because it seems as if Miami has made an offer that I think the Bucks, and again, this is just kind of siphoning through Windy and Shams and everybody else's take on it. It's a good, safe deal. It's nothing that's going to get Bucks fans super excited. I think this new concept and what I'm getting excited about and why I'm wearing green today is I think the Celtics are going to get involved. You're listening to Bill Simmons, who's Mr. Celtic, along with Brad Stevens. And I can't tell if these reports are fake news or not. But there seems to be a movement going that Brown could be traded to the, it could be a 3 or a 4 team trade where the Bucks end up getting a lot of really quality assets and maybe a couple of young players that maybe come from Miami. Miami ends up, I don't know why Miami would get involved in this. That's the part that I don't fully understand. But if Boston does get involved, and if I'm Boston, I am looking at this and I'm saying, do I really want to just continue to run this back? They had a tailor-made operation going this year, and they couldn't beat Philly. And their guy was back, and I know Tatum is coming back from it, but he played 20. It wasn't like they just threw him in there. He had played 15 or 20 games. He should have been fresh, and their team was pretty much whole, and they couldn't get by Philly. I'm not running that back. I don't know what you're paying. You're in whatever aprons you're in. You got two supermax guys, and you're going to do that. I'd rather have Giannis along with Tatum and moving Brown. And then if I'm the Bucks, I'm not interested. I don't know how old Brown is, but I'm not super interested in just bringing him in. I just want to get a ton of picks and some young players and resetting this whole thing. And I want to then, like I said last week, then you start looking at the Portises and the Turners, and it's let's just reset and go. If you're going to end up moving this, but Giannis can dictate to a certain point because he obviously can say, I'm not going to go there and sign an extension. I'll go there for a year. Nobody's going to give up the assets that you're hoping for if that's the case. It seems as if he's leaking things to really push this Miami trade. Mm-hmm. And my guess is there's leakage on top of leakage saying you need to up the ante and get better, because I do think just reading the tea leaves, it feels as if Miami is going to end up with Giannis because that's where Giannis wants to go, and he's going to get the extension, and the Heat are just going to have to sweeten that pot just a little bit, because otherwise this is going to be a complicated deal. I hope it goes the complicated way, because I think the more complicated, I think the better it's going to be for the Bucks.
So there's, first of all, Jaylen Brown is going to be 30 in October.
Yeah, I just am not interested in having him as kind of the face for the next two or three. Like, I'm not, that's not saying that I think he's a really good basketball player, but I don't think that's going to move the needle in any meaningful way here, especially with, I think there is the vibe for most Bucks fans that this has been exhausting. And let's just reset and have a young group that we can have grow together and hopefully get something replicated like an OKC did when they were able to move Paul George.
Mark Stein, longtime NBA reporter, laid out a case where the Rockets, the Celtics, and the Bucks could be involved in a three-way trade. By the way, Brown has 3 years and $183 million left on his existing contract. There's also some conjecture out there about the Clippers emerging as a possible destination. But I agree with what you just said. There is an exhaustion, I think. I'd be curious. Maybe we have to reach out to our guy, our Bucks buddy, Justin Garcia. He's usually pretty in tune with what the greater picture is in the association. But I don't know. Why don't you like the Jaylen Brown piece of this? I mean, he had a great year. But
I mean, what's like it?
Not especially, no, but I'm not the NBA and not the 30,000 foot view of the NBA.
I don't view that as like moving the needle in any meaningful way, and then you have all this money tied up. Now, if you're going to utilize that piece as another trade piece, then I'm interested. And we trade him, and then that gets it. But to have him as one of the centerpieces back for Milwaukee, I think will lead us to
Irrelevancy?
Nah, just a lot of mediocrity. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'll be wrong on that. It depends what else comes back. And maybe we're poo-pooing because if you look at Boston, I think everybody, when Tatum tore his Achilles last year, we all kind of thought, well, this is going to be a bridge year for them. They're not going to even, you know, they're not going to make the playoffs. And obviously they were in position where everybody had them winning the Eastern Conference and playing OKC or San Antonio in the championship. I remember Wendy. I'm old enough to remember Wendy saying, I'm only going to get hotels in Boston because I'm so certain that the Boston Celtics are going to be hosting the NBA Finals. Well, how'd that work out for Wendy?
Well, that was in large part because of Jaylen Brown in the regular season, though.
That's my point back. So maybe I'm poo-pooing because I just think that at this point, maybe that is the best we could get. Would he be the best if we end up trading him to Giannis to the Miami Heat? Would Brown be the best player if we ended up switching courses and going with the Celtics? Because I don't think there's anybody on the Miami Heat that we would get that would be better than him. That I agree with. But I just am at the point where I want a total let's go young, let's get a bunch of draft picks, and hopefully this group we find, if we get 3 first-round picks, we get a star, we get a really good supplemental player, and then we get another guy, and then have more picks and maybe some sprinklers that will help reset this organization. Because I think if we bring Brown in, the anticipation would be we're going to be back winning, and then are we going to be winning at the 8-7-6 seed? Because we certainly would not be winning at the 3-2-1 seed when it comes to the Eastern Conference, especially if Giannis ends up in Boston and or Miami. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden that math changes again, and I don't think at this point that's where we want to be. But then the other question is, do you want to just have a total 15-win season and build from it? As crazy as it sounds, I'd be okay with that for a year. Because we did that with Giannis back whatever year that was, 14, 13, whatever year it was. Mm-hmm. And that built to where we were, where it was the golden age of the Milwaukee Bucks for, what, a 5 or 6 year period, which is what we're all looking to try and recreate.
Well, if something is going to happen, the draft is a week from tomorrow, right, Jesse?
That is correct. Next week.
So we're into that window of where this, if something's going to happen, it's coming up quick. After years and years and years of speculation, we're on the verge of that. All right, let's play some trivia, and then Tausch will tell us about Annex Wealth Management. Jesse, I haven't given away anything from the sports weekend recap, have I?
We have recapped a lot of the sports weekend so far in this show. The sports weekend recap is today's Wildy and Tausch trivia category, as is customary for us on a Monday.
How many strikeouts did Miz have in his win?
15, I think.
I think that's correct.
Is that right? So
I believe you're right. Caller 15. Caller 15. That is not one of the questions, by the way, so you're safe there. Caller 15 right now, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Caller 15 will play trivia after Tausch tells us about Annex Wealth Management.
And it is hard to keep up with everything going on globally. You know, you got the Iran deal, Strait of Hormuz. We don't know what's going on, and you don't know how that affects your money. Gas prices, inflation, wars, If you're looking to learn how to plan and stay on your goal, even with all of that going on around you, give the good people at Annex Wealth Management a call. When they plan, they start by talking with you about what's important. And they're going to start building from there, then rigorously test the plan against hundreds of different scenarios and all sorts of possibilities to make sure that what you're building will stand up over time. Nothing's going to make you 100% calm with everything going on, but the experts and the great team at Annex are going to help you with your financial planning. Give them a call. Go to annexwealth.com. Click the Get Started button to get going today.
Caller 15 plays trivia next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Wildy and Tausch on 100.5 ESPN is brought to you by Everlight Solar. Save money, save the planet. Everlight Solar.
Let's play some trivia. Presented by Cousin Subs and Vortex Golf.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is presented by Vortex Golf, rangefinders you can bet on, and by Cousin Subs. Have a grad to celebrate? Purchase $30 in Cousin Subs gift cards and receive a free 7.5-inch sub. Cousin Subs, they believe in better.
Let's welcome in our contestant. It is Chad in Fitchburg. Chad, good morning. How are you today?
Doing well, thanks.
Doing well, doing well. All right, well, hopefully you do well in Wildy and Tausch Trivia. It is the Sports Weekend Recap. And as mentioned earlier in the program, question number one is about the World Cup. The U.S. men's national team defeated Paraguay 4-1 in its World Cup opener on Friday night. But which star U.S. player left the game near the end of the first half and did not return for the remainder of the night? And if he does not return for the rest of the tournament, we may stop funding soccer altogether in this country.
According to some.
Is it Christian Pulisic, Alex Freeman, or Ronaldo Pele Beckham?
I will go with B.
Alex Freeman, son of Packers wide receiver Antonio Freeman. Well, thankfully he is healthy and played what appeared to be very well in game one. No, it's Pulisic.
Is that how you say that name?
I don't know.
Christian Pulisic.
I almost know.
Christian Pulisic.
Yeah. Tough one. A tough one to start, but we'll get better. All right. Three members of the NBA champion New York Knicks, Jalen Brunson, Mikal Bridges, and Josh Hart, were also teammates in NCAA men's basketball tournament champions in 2016. They also lost to Wisconsin the following year. At which school did they play? Is it North Carolina, Virginia, or Villanova?
Nova.
Yes, sir. That win even looks... Is that what then we ended up losing in the to the Gators at MSG?
Wisconsin beat the Nova Knicks in the 2017 second round of the NCAA tournament and then proceeded to lose the buzzer beater at the Garden.
The belts.
Who made that shot?
Florida.
Chris Chioza.
Chioza.
After
Showalter in the belt.
After Showy with the belt, yeah.
Unlike
that game, Chad, you got question two right, so that's a win. Now let's see if you can get question three. Jacob Mizorowski faced the minimum in a complete game one-hit shutout of the Philadelphia Phillies on Friday night. They called it a Maddox.
A Maddox. Yeah.
That's a complete game shutout without pitching 100 pitches?
Yep.
Impressive. Who was the only Phillies player to reach base in Friday's game? Was it Kyle...
And these questions backwards
Christian
today.
Pulisic. Yes, 2 for 3, the rare first one wrong, last two right, which does not happen very often on this program. Chad, you got 2 out of 3. That means you got 3 of the possible 4 entries into Friday's drawing, which will make you contestant number 4. I don't understand the system at all with the chips, but be that as it may, you got 3 of the possible 4 entries. Good luck, buddy. Thanks for loyalty to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys.
That is Wildy and Tausch Trivia. We will kick off the 10 o'clock hour in just 2 minutes. So stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.